BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, everyone. This is not Scott Mills. It's Matt Edmondson. Scott was off today. Chris, do we know what is wrong with Scott?
We're not 100% sure. We think he's out catching Pokemon.
That could be the theory. Anyway, you're not going to get Scott today, but you are going to get a little bit of him because it's the big David Guetta interview. You'll hear that on this podcast. Really good job, by the way, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of my favourite interviews that I think we've done on the show.
Sounds really good. And the video, as you'll hear later, is available to watch online. So go and have a look at that. And you can see Scott and Chris and Guetta in all their glory. Also, Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless has a little chat because, of course, it's New Music Friday. And Dev pops in for a quite fast-paced Real or No Real, which is down to the fact that he arrived way late and basically we had to rush through it. But you'll get to hear that. All of this on this edition of the Scott Mills Daily. Cheers, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I never get on the intro of this. This is awesome.
Well, welcome.
BBC
Radio 1.
All right, Chris.
All right, Matt.
How's it going?
Yeah, really good. You know, Scott isn't mad keen about this whole Pokemon thing. And he has said that if I play Pokemon, he will confiscate my phone.
Yeah.
What's the rules with you?
Oh, I'm very keen for you to play on. Now, here's a question, right? Because I downloaded the game yesterday and I've only caught a few so far.
Yeah.
Not great ones, if I'm honest. If you see one on your phone and I'm stood next to you with my phone, will I also see the same Pokemon? Or is it just on your phone?
I actually don't know. The thing is, I was never really into Pokemon. The first time around, everyone's saying, oh, it's legendary, stuff like that. I'm just completely getting involved because of the hype at the moment.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I didn't want to feel like I was missing out.
But I've got to be honest, all I'm catching is these bird ones.
Mm.
And what's the other one? And like this little rat.
Is that a BBC thing? Because I know that you have to fill out a form if you want to like bring a dog in or something like that. Have they got a deal where they're not allowing Pokemon through?
I don't know. Well, that's an interesting question. And also, why are there so many rats at the BBC? Why is it I'm only catching rats around here?
It is strange.
Like, is it done by the business? You know, is it like, does it link up? Why is there a high population of rats here?
I'm very keen for the experiment. Oh, someone will tell us because they'll know. In fact, do you know what? I think on BBC iPlayer, there's a documentary now about how Pokemon Go.
Oh, that's good.
An information video. I saw someone who works for the iPlayer just put it on their Facebook. So that's up there now. We could have watched that, and I'm sure someone will tell us on the text. I'm quite keen to see, though, if there's a Pokemon around, if it appears on both my phone and on your phone.
Yeah. Well, I do think it's sort of early stages of getting into this game.
Yeah.
Are you going for it?
I don't know.
My mates think I'm so sad.
I went for a dog walk today, and I this is when I got the call saying, oh, can you come in? Scott's not around today. Can you come in and do it? And I was about to embark on a walk around Greenwich Park looking for Pokemon.
Mm.
But coming here has ruined that. So I'm a day behind. I'm a day behind.
I mean, Scott's off today chasing Pokemon himself.
Do we think that's what it is? Because he was sort of pouring scorn on it yesterday. And yet he's not here today.
And maybe.
Yeah, it's a good theory. If you see Mills out and about, heading his phone, trying to catch Pokemon, let us know, please.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, Chris, it's time for Guetta.
Yeah, you're looking forward to this?
Yeah, I can't wait. I know you guys have been talking about it for the last few days and that you were really excited before it actually all happened.
Yeah, and you're a massive Guetta fan as well.
I love Guetta. And when you guys got off the Eurostar last weekend, I spoke to you on my show, and you were very excited about seeing the commentator, whose name I've sadly forgotten. What's
his
name?
Guy Mowbray.
Guy Mowbray, that's the one. But Scott and I were way more excited about the fact you're going to get to meet David Guetta, of course, the man behind This One's For You, the official song of the Euros.
Yeah. So basically, we recorded this last Sunday. We met David Guetta in a hotel room just before he went to perform at the closing ceremony of the Euros.
Yeah.
So he wasn't doing that much press, if any, because obviously this was like the biggest gig and he was going off to do that. He needed to focus on that. But he did actually find some time for us. And I got to say, he was really, really honest. And at times, almost like motivational, strangely inspirational with some of the stuff he was saying. And I guess in light of last night's awful news in Nice, I think some of the stuff that he says in this interview is even more pertinent.
Okay, so for the next half hour on Radio 1, it's Scott and Chris and their interview with David Guetta recorded last weekend.
This is
BBC Radio 1.
David Guetta, hello.
Allez le bleu.
Allez le bleu.
Allez le bleu.
Mm-hmm. Ah, ça me fait plaisir, ça.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay, that's all I know. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
I know that you are like the busiest man right now. Where have you been in the last few days?
Yesterday I was in Sicily, the day before I was in, Serbia, right. The day before I was in Ibiza.
And all the time you're coming back to Paris to rehearse for the Euros.
Oh yeah,
final.
And during the day I was coming to Paris to do the rehearsals.
Wow.
Also. So I would do this at night and go back and forth with Paris. And actually, like I was saying, I'm not totally ready. Right after this, I'm going to do 3 hours rehearsal again.
Okay. So obviously you're playing the closing ceremony tonight. It's a pretty big deal. What aren't you happy with?
No, I'm super happy. I'm all super right. excited. It's just that we did a huge arrangement mm-hmm. of Seven Nation Army, and then it's going into This One's For You, but we did an orchestral arrangement. Mm-hmm. There's also a marching band. There's like a... I've used also like a more electronic instrument, like a classic acid house sound, mm-hmm. like TB-303. Like, and all of this has to be quite precise. So I'm going to Stade de France right after this for 3 hours and finish the last rehearsal, and hopefully everything is going to be fine.
Fine. Is this the biggest day for you though, doing this kind of performance at a time where it's, you know, massive for France as well?
Well.
The finals of the Euro.
You know that for the opening ceremony, the day before, I did a concert under the Eiffel Tower. And I have to say, this was like one of the highlights of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because me being from Paris, you know, the Eiffel Tower probably is the most famous monument in the world. It was really, really such a symbol after everything that happened in Paris. It was really incredible. Mm. And at that time, of course, I was dreaming of it, but I didn't know France was going to be in the final.
It's crazy.
So for me today to be in Stade de France in Paris with the French team playing, it's wow. You know, like, I'm so excited.
Similar to us. For us, being in Paris at a time where France are in the final is amazing enough. Just for me as a football fan and as Scott, who and loves
just,
a party.
Just the atmosphere, like the whole city yes, is just it's yes. such a good vibe.
I gotta tell you, if we win...
I know, what's gonna happen?
Oh my God. You know, in 98, when France won the World Cup, it was probably the most happy, beautiful year I've ever seen in my country. For 1 year, everybody was happy. And we have kind of a self-hate thing with our country. I don't know why, it's just part of our culture. And, you know, we like to be grumpy. Whenever there's a problem, we go in the street, we strike, we're on strike. You know, this is very,
very vocally grumpy.
It was this full year of everybody smiling to each other, yeah. being nice, being positive, where the country feels like one, mm. when we were like proud to be French, and people were spending money, mm. were feeling confident. It was just
amazing.
How
will you celebrate tonight if France wins?
I'm going to celebrate for sure. I'm a little bit disappointed, I have to say, because normally we said that if France was going to win, I was going to organize like a giant free concert.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for security reasons, we can't do it. Mm. And even like they said that if the team wins, they can't walk down Les Champs-Élysées like we always do normally. Yeah. And this is okay. really upsetting that mm. we cannot even celebrate the way we should.
But
you, know?
You personally, it's really nice that you want to throw a massive party.
That's really
but
nice.
Like,
yeah.
What will you do personally to celebrate?
Oh,
I'd go mad.
I'm going to go mad.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to go mad. I know we're going to win.
Totally.
Here's a question, David. Would you be prepared to travel economy class for the rest of your life on trains and planes if I could guarantee to you that France will win tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's a big, big, big sacrifice because...
Think about it.
I gotta tell you, the problem was not so much to be economy or business. The problem is...
No, no, it's not business. It's economy, Dave.
No. I'm saying economy instead of business. But the problem is...
I know, the
ashamed
people.
To say... No, it's not like this. It's because... If so, when I don't fly intercontinental, uh-huh. then I travel like normal. But if I'm inside America or inside Europe, I use a jet. Oh, so yeah, that cool. allows me to go to the studio during
yeah.
the day.
Yeah.
So if I would not do this, I could not produce anymore. That's a very big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right. But, so okay.
So I wouldn't stop being able to make music just because.
Yeah, but you can make music on your laptop on the plane. You'd just be a bit more squished.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's true. You know? I do that too.
Well, but that's a problem. So okay, France win, but then there's no more
but
David Guetta.
But you don't want to let down your country.
It's a real problem, isn't it?
That's a difficult question.
Is the real issue that you'd be, because you're a very recognisable person, right?
That would be that.
But
as
then
well.
You could wear a disguise.
Have no, ever... honestly, I travel normal planes all the time.
Do you have to wear a disguise for that?
No. There's something really funny though, is it's so people. I don't know why. If I pick up my hair, no one recognizes me.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
What do you mean, pick up your hair?
Like sometimes I pick my hair up like this, you know, and I do
it
like a man
look
bun.
Like you. Yeah.
And it's just so funny. Like one day I was walking the Champs-Élysées, and I was with a friend of mine, and from America, and the guy said, but. I thought you were famous in France. No one knows you here. Yeah. It was just so funny.
But is that just because you had no security? And
that also, because I never work with security. I never do the whole entourage thing. Mm. And I think the more normal you act, you know, the better the life is.
Okay.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, Chris, David Guetta seems like the coolest man on earth.
He is. I use the word so often, but he genuinely is such a legend.
He's sort of effortlessly cool. And also, with big, big stars like him, sometimes they can be a little bit closed or shut down in interviews. He's so open about everything.
Yeah, the whole interview, he was looking at us the whole time, doesn't look around at management or anything like that. He's really generous with his time and how he answers questions, especially on the day of the Euros final, you know? It was busy enough, as it, you know, for him as with the day he had ahead.
What I love is that you can tell that you and he are connecting as football fans together and he and Scott are connecting as fans, like you said, of a big party and of hopeful celebration. So let's dive back into the interview. And at this stage, I think you're trying to wangle better access to the football.
One BBC Radio 1.
Okay. Can you text the players? Do you know the players?
Well, you know, I know a lot of players. And sometimes we did text.
Like when Giroud in the last game, he was a little bit slow at one point. Griezmann, did you text him at halftime? Hurry up!
You know what Griezmann texted? It was so funny. When I was doing the Eiffel Tower...
He texted you?
He tweeted
Griezmann.
Me.
He
tweeted me like, can you stop with this noise? We're trying to sleep.
That's so good.
That's so cool.
That would be my dream, that you could text the players.
But imagine... So we did the rehearsal, and the guy said, David, I'm sorry, but right before coming in, you have to stay in the corridor with all the players. I'm sorry, but we don't have another place. Is that okay for you? I'm like, let me think. Yeah, so I'm really excited.
So it's fair to say you're a massive football fan, so having the players' numbers still feels cool to you, even though you know loads of famous people.
Yeah, well... To be honest, I was not such an expert of football, and I've learned with time a little more. But before knowing anything about football, I knew a lot of football players.
Yeah.
Especially because in June, you know, they have the break, and they all come to Ibiza.
So they all want to be on the guest list.
So they always come to say hi.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it was really embarrassing because I would a few years ago, I would not know some of like the biggest players in
like
the world.
Who?
And they would tell me like, this person is here. I'm like, who?
I'd be the same.
Now it's a completely different situation.
Yeah.
And also when I was in Vegas, I don't know if you heard the story, but Paris Saint-Germain, they came for a celebration to Vegas. That was a quite big scandal in France because they were mad at the team for you know.
Right.
But everybody needs to have a little party from time to time.
What is it? Just Zlatan there.
Exactly. And because Zlatan was going to leave.
That's right.
So they came to do like a big, and they came to my party in Vegas. So, and then.
So it's your fault?
No, of course not. And then it was really nice. Then we all had a little after party in the massive room that they had at the hotel.
Wow.
And it was really cool to know all of them. It was the first time I met Zlatan at that time.
Wow. He's a do you know Zlatan?
I'm aware of him.
He's big name on campus.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
We are providing alternative commentary for the BBC tonight for the match, for the final.
Massive deal for us.
It's big.
This is my life peaking.
We're super nervous because it's quite an honour. Yeah, do you still get nervous at big events like this?
Of course. I mean, tonight I'm going to be super nervous.
Will you?
Yeah, of course. Since yesterday.
You do so many gigs.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I think you're nervous when you do things that you're not used to do. Mm. Because when you're used to do something, and yes, I do many gigs. So, of course, maybe if I play Ibiza, I'm not nervous because I've done it hundreds of times. Mm. But anytime I do, like when I did the Eiffel Tower show, I was shaking, literally shaking. Because I don't know the type of people that are going to be there. It's not my regular clubbers crowd, you know? So every time I do something like this, it's challenging. Or like tonight, we're going to do the opening ceremony, you know? I'm like, oh my God, like, it's so scary.
Right.
And there's only 300 million people watching the show.
I mean, it's quite a big audience.
That's a big gig, isn't it? I mean, what advice would you, I mean, we're quite nervous. What advice would you give us to reduce the nerves? How do you reduce nerves on this?
Well, yours is like 300 million, ours is more like 30.
Well, but you don't know. I mean, we don't know how big tonight is going to be.
Yeah, any advice?
Well,
30 million, we should point out, not 30 people.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Sounds rubbish.
Well, I don't know. Everybody's different, you know.
What do you do? How do you prepare? Like, what
I get
do you do?
Like, I get, okay, it's not very rock and roll, but I just like, you know, lay down in an empty room and I close my eyes for like 15 minutes before getting on stage. And really to relax, and sometimes I get really bored doing this, which is actually amazing because then when I get on stage, I'm super excited, you know, because I've been like wanting to be there, and that's how I do. But everybody's different. Some people they like going for dinner with friends and drinking, whatever. Like more, I'm doing more like it's almost meditation in a way.
Well, maybe we try that.
Should we ever lie down before?
We could do. I'll struggle though because the problem is every time I've tried to go to sleep in Paris, all I have in my head is we're in this together. It's everywhere.
It's like pretty catchy, right?
It's become part. I found myself earlier on. We were getting a taxi. We were waiting for this taxi.
Yeah, this is true.
And I'm there, just kind of, we're in this together.
It doesn't leave your head. It must be a massive honour to be asked to do the official anthem. How did that actually come about? Who had a conversation with who?
With Michel Platini.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course. So first
we called you.
Well, not at first. Not. It was the people from UEFA first that they called me. They proposed me to do that, and they said, "Do you want to come to Geneva to meet with Michel Platini and the whole UEFA team?" And for me, it was crazy because when I was a kid, I was watching Michel Platini playing football. You know. So just to meet him, it was just incredible, and. And then I was like very, very honored, of course. And then I had a dream since 15 years of doing the concerts under the Eiffel Tower. And I was like, this is a good opportunity.
Just to make that work.
Exactly, because of course, you know, this is very political. You have to know the people, the mayor, you know. And then I was like, if I do it, do you think you could organize for me to do a concert under the Eiffel Tower? Like, oh, no, yeah, don't worry about it.
Wow. So these are the kind of trades you like at your level.
I kind of, took the opportunity, you know?
Every day's a hustle, I love it. I give you the anthem, you give me the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. I love it.
Did you know that that Calvin Harris, you know you invited lots of people to get involved in it, they could log on and they could record a song. Did you see the video Calvin Harris put on his Snapchat of him recording for the song?
Oh, I didn't see this one.
Yeah,
I
think Calvin Harris is on the song somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so. He's going, "Wait!"
I think I've seen one that he was like kind of teasing me a little bit
really?
About this. I think.
I didn't know DJ. Do DJs have beef? You don't really have that, really.
Doesn't seem to be.
Not in our community. Not really.
No.
Not really.
No. Especially at your level, where it's so big?
Well, I think it can always happen, you know, like in hip hop, this is something that is pretty common.
Doesn't seem to happen with DJs really, no.
Not really. One BBC
Radio 1. It must be great for you to be, because you're from Paris, right?
Yes.
So I mean, you're kind of, you are basically the unofficial king of France.
Yes.
So it must be.
I'm trying to avoid this because last time in La Bastille something happened.
Maybe a different title.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe not that.
That kind of idea, though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, is there a situation where in Paris or anywhere in France? Like, you don't have to pay for anything. Like, they see you be in a taxi, be like, all right, David, that one's on me. Do you know what I mean? They like, yeah, or go out for a restaurant, they're like, it's fine.
Sure, it happens.
Does it? Yeah. It's great being you, isn't it? Yeah, it's great being you.
It's nice. It's nice. It's always nice when people are nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think I'm quite a nice person. You know, I'm always happy to meet new people. And yes, especially now that I don't live here anymore, it's really making me happy every time I come back. Because it's funny, you know, when you live in a country, and there was a moment where I was getting really famous, and it was a little like stressful because it was really crazy in the street, and then
Paris.
Yeah, and then I have kids too, and it was starting to be crazy for them too. So I decided to move, and. And then I realized now how much I miss it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like there's a moment you're like, oh, my country, we're like this, we're like that, you know, complaining.
Being grumpy.
Being French. Being French.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
And then by being away, I realized how much I love it and how beautiful the city is. It's really incredible, right?
It's incredible.
Especially now, when it's like a beautiful weather like this, it's really incredible.
How will you top this? So you know how you've got these trades going on with various members of UEFA and FIFA. what's like? Is this the pinnacle now? Is this the?
Yeah, this is really one of the highlights,
the biggest thing
of my life.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow. I don't know what else you can do after. I mean, is this like it's go really to space high, or something?
It? Yeah.
It's
really
first gig on
DJ
Jupiter.
In space.
I don't know.
Yeah, well. Yes, we actually discussed also, there was a moment.
Oh, you know everyone. Hello, is that space?
I'd like to play a gig. I got a phone call from,
No, but for real, there was a moment, because I was doing a few incredible shows. We did a few really special ones, and like at the Great Wall of China, I did Masada Desert in Israel, and then there's the Eiffel Tower, and I spoke with the people from Virgin Galactic at some point, and we did speak about it, doing a show in space.
That
would be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
But then
this was a joke, but he's actually asked about it.
Your dreams are realities. It's mad.
Yeah.
Like you could literally just think of anything.
You know, eventually it will happen as well.
You've got a number to call.
I have this. I mean, it sounds a little like an obvious, stupid, you know, the kind of the secret book in America.
Right.
But I do believe in positive attraction, really.
Mm. Do you work in favors? So it's like a favor for someone, then you can call that back in, and that's how you do
not
it?
Not really. I think if you're positive and do things, good things are coming.
Yeah.
Really, I believe in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and you're such a positive person. I think that's partly why it all happens.
And
to
I always visualize what I want to happen. And it happens. I act like if it's going to happen for sure. It's happening.
You're the most inspiring person. I mean, that's what I just got. I visualized that one day I would do the alternative commentary on the red button for the BBC. Tonight, we're actually doing it.
Yeah, I know.
And then what to do now?
Together.
Exactly. I need to broaden my dreams. What do
it's
we do
peak.
Next?
It's
Where
peak.
Do we go from there?
Know. Listen, David, thank you so much for spending
thank
the
you.
Time. I know you've got such a busy day ahead. Good luck with tonight as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
Allez le bleu. Allez le bleu.
See you in space.
What a great chat with David Guetta, and what a nice guy, Chris.
Yeah, and he just really opened up, honest, just everything that you'd want, really.
If you want to see that interview, Scott and Chris filmed the entire thing, and You can watch it right now on BBC iPlayer on Radio 1's channel. Scott Chris with David Guetta for a really big, long, very funny interview. Go and take a look.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So it is New Music Friday. This is BBC Radio 1. And in a minute or two, we've got some brand new music from The Pretty Reckless, which leads us now to say hello to Taylor Momsen. Hi.
Hey, guys.
You okay?
Doing great. Doing great. We're at rehearsals right now. Working on the new set, and everything's awesome. We're psyched.
Okay, so rehearsing for what? Are you on tour?
Rehearsing for tour and just playing because it's fun.
And whereabouts in the world are you right now, Taylor?
We're in New England. We have a rehearsal space in New Hampshire. Our drummer actually lives in a recording studio that has now been turned into his apartment. So we get to rehearse in essentially what was a live room and now is just filled with tons of drum kits.
I've always wondered, when you rehearse for a live show, do you practice all the talking bits in between the songs, or do you literally just leave that to when you're on stage?
Oh, no, you don't rehearse that. No, that's a in-the-moment type of thing. For us, at least.
I've had that before, actually, where I've been to see a show and then I've wound up seeing it again and they do exactly the same thing as the previous show. And I was like, oh, I thought this bit was spontaneous.
I mean, sometimes you'll say the same thing just because it's something that naturally that you would say, but it's not rehearsed by any means for us.
Now, Taylor, I've been doing a bit of reading this morning and you say that this new album is, and these are your words, your greatest accomplishment to date. Are you sticking by that?
I'm sticking by that, yes.
Okay, and what excites you most about getting new music out there?
Just having people hear it. I mean, it's the first time. Finishing the record is the first accomplishment, and getting to listen to it yourself, and then getting so hyped for having the rest of the world be able to hear this thing that you created, you know, essentially in your bedroom. So that in itself is just so exciting.
So we're going to play the single in a second. Before that, though, I know that Scott and Chris have been chatting about this week, actually, and we both follow you on Instagram, and we've seen lots of your selfies, including the ones of you on the bridge this week. A question that has been raised is, what is the best word to say when you take a selfie?
The best words to say?
Yeah, you know, like people, when they used to take photos, would say cheese. People are saying that there are better words you can say to make you look super hot in your Instagram pictures or when you're taking a selfie.
Well, I'm not a big selfie taker, so I don't know if I have a good word, but how about spaghetti?
Spaghetti. Yeah, it's doing a weird thing to my jaw. Apparently, Taylor, the word that you're meant to say for the absolute best selfie face is prune.
Prune?
Yeah.
I would go with date.
Yeah, I guess you could just do your own thing if you want. Just stick to your own words. Nice.
We'll leave that one for you to test, Taylor. But if you want a guaranteed one, apparently next time you take a selfie, prune is the perfect face to pull.
All right, I will take your advice and I'll do it and send it to you.
Taylor, thank you for chatting to us. I think we've taken up way too much of your time already. But we will play your song now for New Music Friday. Do you mind introducing it for us? Take Me Down.
I would love to. This is Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless. Here's Take Me Down on BBC Radio 1.
Good to chat to you, Taylor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good one.
Will do. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye, then.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We have got music on the way from M.O. I'll tell you what, Chris, it's kind of confusing. We've got M.O. and Mo on the playlist at the same time.
Yeah, it does get confusing because obviously one's a girl group that actually came in and played Innuendo Bingo recently.
Yeah? Was it a good one?
It was good. Video on Radio 1 YouTube. But I do get them mixed up as well.
Mm. So Mo hasn't been in for Bingo.
Well, no, the problems came when the girl group came in and I accidentally called them Mo once and they shot me evils, but then I quickly rectified it.
Did they shut you down immediately?
Well, yeah, it must happen a lot.
Yeah, it probably does.
What the chance of that? Two Mo's out at the moment.
I know.
Although one isn't Mo, one's M.O.
There you go.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Are we doing Real or No Real later?
Yes.
Yes, we're the listeners today, right?
I think we should try roping one of our Radio 1 friends.
Okay. Have you done any roping yet? Do you know who's around?
It really depends if you're keen. Maybe Dev.
I'm very keen for Dev. Yeah. I'm always keen for Dev. Yeah, I love a bit of Dev in my life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll ask. Let's get Dev on for Real or No Real.
Perfect. We will do that after 3:30 today. Also on the way, DJ Sammy, the Boys of Summer. That's on.
That's random.
That is really random, isn't it?
Kind of excited for it, though. But
I am.
Random, I mean, I take it we're going to be talking about something to do with summer.
I guess
hence
so.
Hence the song being on. Because yeah, it's a random so. One to just throw out there, Matt.
It is. Oh, I know what it's to do with. It's to do with those summer mixes.
Oh, there we go.
And you know that advert that we went and shot the other day?
Yes.
I say advert, like a little thing where we're talking to people about summer mixes.
Yep.
I got sent through some photos the other day of you and Scott on a park bench.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of explaining that needs to be done around this. I think they come out next week. But yes, that'll be why we're playing Boys of the Summer.
Okay.
Could fine. Be a moment.
Could be a big moment, I think. It's an odd one for New Music Friday, I'll say that.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Dev's here. Hello.
Hey.
You all right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty good. So exciting outside.
Why? What's going on?
I just came out of the train station. Guess who I saw? Danny Howard being followed down the street by like three different cameras. He's interviewing Jillionaire from Major Lazer.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I got to have a little chat with Jillionaire for a bit. I think I might make a cameo. He's filming a new documentary about superstar DJs. So it's really good.
For BBC iPlayer?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think
you've managed to get yourself into that documentary?
Yeah, just by walking out of the train station. It was a little bit embarrassing because I had a bag in my hand from the High Street Bakery that I frequent quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't very glamorous. But okay. Everything else about it was very glamorous.
Now they can pixelate it.
Yeah.
Leave it a mystery for people. all right, let's play Real or No Real. It is Dev versus Chris. Feel free to play along. And first up on today's Real or No Real, answer me this. Real or no real?
Zayn Malik has a new tattoo of a lightsaber, which lights up under UV light.
So you got producer Ian on the old voiceover.
Yeah.
I think he's being wasted here. I still think he needs to be doing voiceovers for like children's programs and stuff. Just play that one more time. Just imagine he was like reading you a bedtime story.
Zayn Malik has a new tattoo of a lightsaber, which lights up under UV light.
See what I mean? It's in the wrong career.
Yes, audiobooks for kids.
Yeah,
he can go wackier than that. Though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like normally it's full on.
Yeah, he's got the whack.
He's got the whack up to only about four or five there. Okay. You want to see him on like an eight.
So do we think Zayn Malik then is a fan of Star Wars? If this is real, it would suggest, because I mean, if you're going to have one of those things, they are for life, so you do need stuff that you know you're going to be a fan of all your life.
He does resemble a Vulcan a little bit, doesn't he?
That's Star Trek, mate.
That's Star Trek, yeah. You're gonna get in trouble.
No, that's the second.
Did you do that deliberately to annoy people?
Yeah, that's the second day in a row I've tried to do that. Confuse Star Wars with Star Trek, and both times I've been pulled up on it. Leave it, all right? People will get wound up. It's way funnier.
Didn't you once do a documentary?
Yeah,
about
that's why it's funny. Ruined now. Which I never brought it up.
He's trolling the nation.
Yeah. So I made a career out of it. Well, he's got a lot of wacky tattoos, hasn't he? I didn't risk this would just be an addition to another wacky tattoo. Quite cool that it would light up under UV. Is that like the new hot thing to do?
I don't know. I do like whenever UV light is around and you look at, like, if you've got a white t-shirt and a white trainers, you're like, every time it gets me, I'm like, oh, it looks glowing. It's amazing.
Or if you wear a black t-shirt with loads of lint on, you look a bit stupid.
That's true.
That's the problem.
That is why I always carry a lint roller in my backpack.
But you don't.
What are you talking about? What are these things?
A lint roller?
A lint roller.
What's
you don't know what a lint roller is, mate. You haven't lived.
Well, what is it?
You know lint?
Gets everywhere.
Chocolate?
No. It's for wiping bunnies off things. No, it's, you know, like little bits of fluff and stuff on you.
Yeah.
It's like someone's...
The sticky tape.
Yeah, they've got sticky tape.
But it's on backwards.
Around the thing.
But imagine it's on backwards. So like, you're quite lint-free today, but if you were, say, covered in lint, you'd take a wrap off the roller, just kind of give yourself a little bit of a dust off. No lint. It's great.
Anyway, let's get an answer, everybody.
That one's not that environmentally friendly, though. What you want to get is the clicky one. Little...
Real or no real?
What's that about? Lint brushes?
No, the...
Oh, Zayn's tattoo. Zayn. Yeah. This is definitely real.
I don't put him down as a Star Wars fan, so I'm going to say no real.
Let's find out.
That one is real.
Yes.
That one is real. Let's move on to the next one, which is this.
Fizzy drink fans can now purchase a donut-flavoured soft drink.
That sounds healthy. Okay, cool. Well, I'd like to give this a go. I do think they need new soft drinks. You know, when you're not sure what you're in the mood for, and you've had the same things.
I think we've got enough.
No, I don't think we have.
Yeah.
And we need more savoury-flavoured fizzy drinks.
Well, that isn't savoury,
No,
is
I know
it?
It's not, but it
you
would be
You want a savoury-flavoured fizzy drink? Well, like bacon juice.
Oh. Yeah, could be the best thing ever. No, Never been done.
Yeah, I hate when they try and do things like that. Like, you know, like banana-flavoured beer and stuff. It's like, leave it alone, all right? It's fine. Leave it alone. I want this to be no real.
The world needs to evolve, Dev.
Go and eat a donut if that's what you want, all right? Don't drink something that resembles a... And it's not going to taste like a donut, is it? It's like when you have something that's, I don't know, strawberry-flavoured or something. It's not actually strawberry you're tasting, is it? It's a fake flavour. I want this to be no real.
All right, you're saying no real, Dev.
I'm going to say this is science progressing, so I'm going to say real.
Let's find out.
That one is real.
On behalf of science, you're absolutely right. Oh. That one is real. It exists in America. It's the donut chain that rhymes with Wispy Weem. They've launched a soft drink that combines Wispy Weem donuts and
sick.
Cherry soda. All right.
Sick.
Last up.
In southern Italy, the correct way to eat pizza is from the outside in.
Bunch of weirdos. No way.
I don't trust people who do that.
No. What does that even mean? Sorry, can someone break that
outside
down?
Outside in, so you start from the crust.
You start from the fat end of the slice.
Nah. That's going to be well messy.
Nah, I don't
well, so
like
you're
that.
Holding the slice from the tiny end.
I don't like that.
From the cornered end.
Yeah.
I can't see how you can do that because it will just be a right mess.
I mean, I know they are horrified, but Italians everywhere are horrified by deep pan, for example, because it doesn't exist
really?
In Italy. Yeah, yeah, we've... The pizzas that we have in this country is an abomination. But that just sounds a bit too weird. No,
give me an answer. No, okay. No real.
It sounds to me how they would do it on the continent, so I'm going to say real.
Let's find out.
That one is no real.
There you go. It's no real. So at the end of that, scores please, Chris.
I got 10, Dev got 20.
Yeah. Congratulations, Dev, you get to do the charts.
Yeah! Lucky me.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
What a lovely podcast this has been, Chris.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute delight. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Good to have you on.
I'm back on the radio tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. We've got a big competition. We've done it for what feels like 8 years now, Chris, where every week we've given away tickets to big festivals. It's the last one of the summer tomorrow, and you are making it go out with a bang.
Yeah, everyone can enjoy my horrendous singing tomorrow.
What sort of style did you go for? Because I think you've done another one of these in the past, and you try to imitate the original artist as close as you could.
It's just awful singing. You'll see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about hearing that tomorrow. So tickets giveaway and some other stuff as well. So if you're around, have a little bit of a listen. I go for the hard sell, Chris. Cheers for listening to this. Bye. Scott will be back next week.
This sounds to me a bit like an answer machine message when you're not sure when you should be saying goodbye and you just carry on talking. I think we should go now.
Let's go. Bye, everyone. BBC Radio 1.